This morning, our devotional and background study comes from Genesis chapter 39, verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the man of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he that it brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class.
As you remember from last week, we were studying Joseph and how that Potiphar's wife had brought a lie against him, and we'll be picking up today along with the same subject and what the outcome of that lie was. Picking up where Jimmy left off in Genesis chapter 39, verse 16. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. And our lesson key, And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. Now, we have studied in times past, and we've gone over this, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, about the will of God and people that do the will of God versus people that don't do the will of God. And there is no doubt that Potiphar's wife was not doing the will of God. And Joseph, on the other hand, kept his integrity and did what was right, and therefore he was doing the will of God. So yeah, I want you to keep that in mind as we try to study here and the things that is that goes on with Joseph, and not just in this lesson, but in lessons in the future also. But what has occurred here is that Potiphar's wife has been around Joseph for many years. He's been a servant in their household. He has been favored by God. Potiphar has an officer of Pharaoh, has entrusted everything that he has unto Joseph, and Joseph's been overseer and has done well. God has blessed this household. But Potiphar's wife, I believe, has been is being used as a tool of Satan here. And it's an attempt to discredit Joseph, an attempt to cause him to be separated from God, not to lose his salvation, but that he might not be an example of a righteous person here. But it didn't work. Satan's plan was foiled because Joseph was with God, and God had a hedge about him, and Joseph was a righteous man. One thought that crossed my mind while I studied this, we're going to continue on. We're going to read a lot more about Joseph and the things that he did and how that he served God, how he was blessed. But as far as I know, we won't read any more about Potiphar's wife. Her, and we don't even get her name here. It's just Potiphar's wife. So I have to believe that her actions came back to her. I don't have anything to back that up. It's my feeling and my thought that the Lord repaid her for this thing that she has done. And, the one thing that stands out to me is that she doesn't even have a name here. She's just Potiphar's wife. But carrying on here, as we read on, and this is the writer of our Sunday school book points this out, that in the 19th verse here it says, "And it came to pass when the master heard the words..." Wait, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. In the 17th verse here, she brings together the other, it says, in the part that Brother Jimmy read, she had gathered together the other men of the household, the other servants, and she said that this Hebrew servant has mocked us. And I believe what she's doing there is she's trying to turn other people against Joseph. She is wanting to make it apply to them. This Hebrew, he's not one of us. He's a foreigner. And Potiphar brought him in here, and he's mocking us. He's not like us, and he's doing evil. Now, we know that Joseph has been around these people for I don't know how many years, but a fairly long time, and they know Joseph. From my gathering of the thing, that Joseph was over them. He was the one that would tell them, "You go today and cut the wood. You go today and gather the wheat," or whatever. He would be the lead man. And she is turning these people against him, trying to turn these people against him by telling them he's not one of us. He's not an Egyptian. He's a Hebrew. And he's mocking us. Not me. He's mocking us. He's against us all. And then a little bit later on in the 19th verse, "It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant come to me, after thy servant did to me, that his wrath was kindled." Now, I don't know. You just assume that his wrath was kindled against Joseph, but it doesn't say that. And the reason I bring that up is because Potiphar knew his wife. I mean, this wasn't a stranger, and Joseph wasn't a stranger. He knew the character of both of these people. And if his wife was wanting to go out there and seduce Joseph, her character wasn't very good. And I think Potiphar had an inkling as to who he married. I think he had an idea about what was going on. Now, he knew Joseph. He had seen the things that Joseph did. He had seen Joseph's character, and he had seen the way that he conducted himself. So, I mean, you have to wonder, did he begin to put two and two together? Did he know? The Bible doesn't tell us that, and I don't know what he knew. But I wonder, when his wrath was kindled, if it was kindled entirely against Joseph, or if maybe in the back of his mind he was thinking, "She's lying to me. This is not right. This is not normal. Something's going on." That's conjecture on my part. I don't know. But as the brother Forshee pointed out in our Sunday school lesson here, it says, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison." Now, if he'd been 100% sure that Joseph was in the wrong and Joseph had done this thing being a servant, and that his wife was pure and innocent and had done nothing wrong, I believe he would have put Joseph to death. I mean, I think that's probably what I would have done if I'd have been in his position. I don't know. But that's not what happened. He put him in prison. So, again, think about the relationships of these people, of how they knew each other, how they had lived around each other. They weren't strangers. This wasn't a couple of people that just met in a market and this thing occurred in an alley over a period of a few hours. They said they'd been around each other for years. Well, let's just go over just a minute to the next page and read some of the commentary that Brother Forshee wrote on page 16 under "The Master Reacts." It says, verse 19 says, "His wrath was kindled." I suspect many emotions and thoughts were running through Potiphar's mind upon hearing the details, as explained by his wife. After these many years of trust in Joseph with oversight of my house, this doesn't sound at all like the man I watched from day to day. Did I neglect my duties here at home and put too much confidence in Joseph? Everything was going so good, and I was benefiting. Had he tried to seduce my wife before now? I'm torn between someone who served me extremely well and my wife. What will everyone think or say? Now, stop and think about that. He's, you know, you analyze what's going on. You think about the persons that you're dealing with. And then what comes to his mind? What's everybody going to say? Pride. Pride comes into play. Because no matter what is right or wrong, he's not going to want to go out and say or allow to be said or allow anyone to think that my wife tried to have an affair on me. She went out and she tried not only an affair with some other man, but she tried to have an affair with a foreigner, a Hebrew slave. No, that won't do. So you see where the pride is going to lead us. I am the captain of the guard. More pride here. I'm the captain of the guard, an important man under Pharaoh. I cannot let this thing go undone. And then he goes on to question, why didn't Potiphar simply have Joseph put to death? So think about the emotions in play here and the reactions, and beyond that, the reasons why some of these things are happening. Now, we go on down into the 21st verse, and it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, the Lord could have taken this any direction he wanted. He could have just struck Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. He could have caused Joseph to be a free man. He could have done anything that he chose to do. But he allowed things to continue on to play out. But he was with Joseph. And I want you to, if nothing else, keep that in mind throughout the rest of this day. He was with Joseph because Joseph did what was right. Joseph served him faithfully. I believe Joseph prayed to him and turned to him and asked him for guidance and help. And the Lord was with him. And I have to think that, you know, I don't think it was a pleasant thing in that prison. Don't get me wrong. I don't think it was a great place to be. And he was just all, you know, just as comfortable there as he was when he was living in the house. But the Lord was with him, and I believe the Lord gave him contentment. I believe the Lord gave him a peace within his heart to continue on and to dwell there and to not suffer. And not only that, but he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, that means a lot. When you have to be around somebody, whether it's someone at work or a family member or someone on a trip, whatever, when you're around some other person, you need to be able to be at ease with that person. You need to be able to be comfortable, to be able to talk to them, to not have harsh feelings and to be angry or have wrath kindled. And that's what I believe here the Lord has caused this keeper of the prison to, it says the keeper of the prison, Joseph found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. He helped Joseph out. He saw something in Joseph, and it tells us here in the next verse that the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners that were in the prison. So again, Joseph has he gains influence. He is able to sway this keeper here. And we know that Joseph is a type and a shadow of Christ, and you can see that on many different levels here in how that Joseph, in a sense, is able to make intercession. If a prisoner comes to Joseph and says, you know, I've got a problem here, for or whatever the problem might be, I need some help, Joseph is able to go to the keeper of the prison and have that problem resolved. He has the ability to make intercession here, just as Jesus Christ will make intercession for a lost soul to God. So again, we see God being with Joseph. He was with Joseph in the house when Joseph was over all the house. Joseph had influence. He had a certain degree of control. And again, in this prison, you know, no matter what this evil woman has done, what her words, her lies may have accomplished, God is still with Joseph, and Joseph still has influence. He still has power. He still has the ability to sway the course of events. In the 23rd verse, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, in the United States, God has blessed this country. He has blessed it more than any country, I believe, that's ever been on the face of the earth. And I don't believe that at any time in the past, even, you know, however far back you want to go, to the 50s, to the 30s, to the 1800s, whatever time period you want to go to, I don't think that there was ever a time period when there was more saved godly people in the United States than there was lost. What I'm trying to say is God blessed this people, this country, because there was a handful of people that did right, that did as Joseph did. They kept themselves from evil. They kept themselves from doing wrong. They strived to serve God. And God blessed those people, and He blessed this country because of those people. If that's not happening today, I hate to say this, but if that doesn't happen today, it's not because of Potiphar's wife. It's not because of the lost individuals. It's because God's people don't do what Joseph did. They don't serve God the way that Joseph did. They don't steer clear of the sin that's in this world. That's why our country won't be blessed. I hate to say that, but it's true. God deals with His people. God looks down, and His people sway the course of events. Joseph was swaying these events. Potiphar's wife, all those other servants that were in that household, they didn't do anything. They didn't cause Egypt to go one way or the other. They didn't cause Israel to go one way or the other. But Joseph and the people that worshiped God and served God and prayed to God and turned to God with a humble heart and contrite spirit changed history. They made history go the way that it went. Now, we studied in the past, again, God's will. And God's people didn't always do what God wanted them. They didn't always follow God's will. And God was still in control. History still unfolded, and we read about the things, but it wasn't always a pleasant thing. So there's still saved people in the United States. Saved people that turn to God are still swaying the United States one direction or the other. But when God's people don't serve Him, when they get caught up in things of the world, and I'm including myself as much as or more than anybody in this statement, when we do that, then we can expect to see the rest of the world get worse, the rest of the United States get worse, because God isn't going to bless those people when we do wrong. He's not going to see that things go well for everybody else when His people are straying away from Him. The reason things went well in the Old Testament is because the people did what was right, and the reason they went bad was because a handful of people strayed from God. One other thing that came to my mind, you know, we have in the Bible, the Old Testament, everything points towards Christ, and we can find many different people who were types and shadows of different offices that Christ holds. Well, there's also types and shadows of other things in the Bible also. This wife of Potiphar, I believe, was a type of a false church here. She sought to seduce a righteous person. She sought to remove his influence. She had no way of separating him from God, but she could destroy his influence if he would listen to her, if he would just obey her. And as Bert pointed out, I think last week, who would have known It was just those two alone in that house. Who would have known? Well, Joseph would have known, and God would have known, one thing. But beyond that, she is... she is out to destroy something here. She is out to destroy the character of a godly individual, the righteousness of a godly individual. And one other thing, you know, I can't talk too much about this, but because we're going to be studying it here in a few more weeks, but we all know what is going to occur with Joseph in the next few lessons. We don't hear anything else about Potiphar and his wife, and yet I'm pretty sure they were still around for a while, and they were around probably to see what happens later on. And I wonder, you know, do they recognize later on when Joseph rises up in power who he was? I wonder if they see that. I wonder what they had to be thinking as years went past. I think he spends probably a couple of years in prison here, and so they go on with their life for a couple of years, and then as we'll study in the next lesson that Bert will teach next week, he begins to again gain influence and power in the government. Well, Potiphar was still in the government probably, and I have to wonder, what were they thinking then? What went on in their mind? That's everything that I have today. Does anybody have any thoughts or any questions?
Same thought I had about when he was here, Reuben, and they took upon him to punish him. How come none of them was good for him? That's kind of how that is. He was here a good while, he's proven what have you. They knew what kind of man he was, but they did not understand it for none of them. Read about him.
Well, you know, a lot of thoughts crossed my mind on that. And for one thing, they might have been afraid to stand up for him because, you know, they were servants, they were slaves, and they were even under him. And here's the master's wife standing up, and you can tell that she's set for revenge. And they probably didn't want to be on that side of the table. I don't know. And then, you know, Joseph was over them, and it's kind of human nature to resent someone, even if you have a boss that's fair and good to you. People tend to not like that sometimes, so I don't know. I don't know what they were.
Joseph was a type of Jesus, he was a type of Christ. And, you know, we can ask the same question, why didn't someone stand up for Christ when he was accused and you know, whipped, tortured, and crucified, and there wasn't anyone who stood up for him. Peter said he would, but didn't. All his apostles, you know, ran off to another town. They didn't just go to the other side of Jerusalem. They went off to another city. It's just human nature, I guess, for most of us to avoid the confrontation with evil forces.
I think so.
And so it's, I guess to me, it's kind of a defense mechanism there. But don't you think that they probably felt some guilt and shame because they didn't come to Joseph's defense?
I think they did.
Yeah.
And
even, you know, you mentioned servants, and let me offer this. Remember that the Egyptians were polytheistic people, and they respected the God of children of Israel. They didn't necessarily believe that he was the God, the Almighty God, but they knew that there was a special, that the God of Israel, the God of Joseph, was a special God. Those people, I guess I kind of lost my train of thought there, but can't think of where I was going. I wrote a series of lessons on this for high school. But I'm sorry, I can't think of where I was going. But you know, there was just a deep respect that they had for God, and I guess a fear of God as well. And So it was as much a responsibility of Joseph's countrymen, and, you know, his fellow Jews to stand up and defend him, as it was the children of Egypt, in Potiphar's household. None of us stood up, not a single one, whether they were Jew or Gentile. And it's just a sad statement that people won't stand up for what's right. Very seldom.
Christ proved that when too many stood up for
him. Right.
Okay, now I was thinking, when we're reading this in the books, and you know, you're like, okay, I don't want to say this because it's next week. If you just took today's events as today's events, what would you do? What would you do not knowing the outcome of tomorrow? And years down the line, you know, down the road, when Joseph ends up being second command, you don't know that's going to happen. You just know today, we're loving today. Nobody's going to see. Well, even if nobody sees, what are you going to do? And, I mean, because we know we all know the story, but that helps in everyday life. Well, what do I do today? Do I take another job, or do I not? Where's going to leave? What qualifications do I need to make that decision? And so that's an everyday.
It's easy to look back and say, you know, well, I would have done it differently. It's easy to do that because you know the outcome. Not knowing the outcome.
What is our human nature, though? Is it to be righteous as Joseph was? We don't find any accusations against Joseph. I don't find any. Through his whole life. Is that our nature, or is our nature to be sinful? Paul said, even as great a man as he was, he said he had to fight that battle with the inward man every day. People were looking at what was going on and thinking, well, he finally made a mistake. You know, he's just like the rest of us. Maybe they thought he was guilty. There's always that possibility, because they could ask themselves, well, what would I have done? You know, she's a beautiful woman. What would a man ask himself? She's a beautiful woman. Or one man might say, well, what would I have done if, this handsome young man had made advances toward me, I might have. There's so many questions that we could ask, but do we have to remember that Joseph was a very unusual man in his time? He was holy, righteous, not holy, but holy, righteous, holy. Good example.
Appreciate these comments. If nobody else has anything, we can be dismissed. Let's keep the preacher in our prayers for Brother Palmer and Brother Brown also. The Lord might meet with us today. Brother Hicks, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you for your many blessings.